Okay. So, hello. So, this thing I will talk about is joint work with Tomáš Brázdil, Vašek Brožek, Krishna Dučetrží, and Tony Kučera. And, well, so let me start. So, for those who are jet-lagged or not interested in the talk, this is just one slide, so before you fall asleep, just bear with me. So, what do we do? Well, you could see that here, but anyway, I will repeat that. So, we do formal verification of Markov decision processes, which are systems with non-determinism and probabilities. And our objectives for formal verification are expressed using long-run average or mean payoff, you call it whatever you want. And we have several kinds of objectives, which might somehow complement each other or might be incompatible. And what we do, what we try to do, is to see if there is a scheduler for the MDP such that the objectives we have, all the objectives, are satisfied. Well, our results is, well, I defined the problem somehow informally, and then I propose two different formal definitions for the problem, and then I give you decidability of both definitions, of problems under both definitions, and polynomial time algorithms. So now, the less interesting part. So, I was thinking I should start with something everybody does and everybody knows. So, well, most of us, I suppose, drink coffee. And, well, we have this fancy coffee machine in our kitchen in the department. And what we do is we buy our beans, our coffee beans ourselves, and we get milk from the department. If we use too much milk, they will go crazy and complain. So we have a limit on how much milk we can use. Well, then we need to work, and for work we need caffeine. So in addition to milk, we need enough caffeine to be able to work. And then there is other thing, this coffee machine, for simplicity, well, it's quite fancy, but let's say it can prepare espresso and cappuccino. So if we drink espresso, it gives us more caffeine. But there is another option of drinking cappuccino, which gives us more pleasure, because we like cappuccino more. So now we have somehow like three different goals that we want to achieve, and like there is a trade-off between all of them. So, well, how do we do it theoretically? So we have a model of our coffee machine. So first, well, you start here, and then you have an option. You can have espresso. And when you press the button, it gives you espresso. And then either you can straight away have another one, or the machine starts to complain, well, here it's probably 0.1, and says you need to clean me because, well, there is coffee grounds, or you need to refill the water, or whatever. So here it stops you from drinking another coffee for a couple of minutes. Then there is another option. You can have cappuccino. And there is this thing that always gets dirty. So whenever you have cappuccino, you need to clean the machine. Well, always, no matter. Well, there is no probability here. So if you have a cappuccino, you have to be prepared for cleaning the machine afterwards. So this is the MDP we have, the system. So there is this non-determinism where you pick whether you want cappuccino or whether you want espresso. And there is this probability after you have espresso, you end up in two different states based on what nature decides somehow, or what the coffee machine decides. Then there are rewards, which are this milk, caffeine, and pleasure thing. So if you have cappuccino, it consumes two units of milk. Well, if you have espresso or if you clean the machine, it consumes zero, so I don't put zeros here. Well, then cappuccino gives you half of the amount of caffeine that espresso gives you. Then if you drink cappuccino, well, in my case, I like cappuccino, well, roughly four times more than espresso, and I really hate cleaning. Well, not really, but actually, if I have espresso and then have to clean the machine, it completely spoils the pleasure for me. So these are two different things we have, well, that we put together, but there is non-determinism in the model, so we need to resolve it. So we do it using scheduler. I suppose everybody knows what it is, so I will just give you an example. So what I can do when I buy a machine, I can toss a coin, and if it's heads, I will drink espresso forever, and if it's tails, I will drink cappuccino forever. And yeah, that's a valid behavior. I mean, that might sound insane, but why not? So that's an example of scheduler. So in particular, I always drink the same. I never change my decision. So now that we have scheduler and an MDP, we can define probability of sets of runs. So, well, for example, what is the probability of all runs, so all behaviors starting with espresso, clean espresso? So first, I start here, and I will have espresso with probability 1/2, because I flip a coin and with 1/2 it will be espresso. So this is 1/2. Then if I want clean next, I must go here. So this is probability 0.1. So it's 1/2 times 0.1. And then I do clean, but then I drink espresso again with probability 1. I don't flip the coin again. So probability of these runs is 1/1/20. Now, well, okay, so we have almost everything. We are almost there. So now mean payoff. Well, this is the mathematical definition of mean payoff. So it's a limit of partial averages. And so, well, for those who just realized that it might not be a limit, you see there is a limit in my case. But it's, I will not go into details where we would need the fact that it's limit in Fourier, but it's simply a limit. So an example. So what is the long run of this? So these are coffee beans. So this is one coffee bean, two coffee beans, two coffee beans, one, two, two. So then if you take long run average, and it always goes like this, you have 0.66 coffee beans per time unit, approximately. So now we have mean payoff, and it was defined on a run. Yeah. So we want to somehow define it for the whole MDP. So suppose we have a fixed scheduler, and then our expected mean payoff is this thing. So it's the expectation, as everybody knows it from probability books. So it's the integral over all runs. An example is better probably. So in this MDP and this scheduler where I flip coin once and then keep drinking the same all the time. So let's say I look at this milk thing. So what is the expected milk consumption? So with probability 1/2, I will end up here and never actually drink cappuccino. So with probability 1/2, I get 0. And then with probability 1/2, I will get to this upper part. And here it gives me 2 units and 0. 2, 0. So it's 1 in the average with probability 1/2. So the expected mean consumption is 1/2. Then for caffeine, let's say, well, with probability 1/2, I go to the upper part and get 1, 0. So it's 1/2 times 1/2. This is for the upper part. And for the lower part, I get 1/2 times something else, which I will not show you how to compute. But anyways, what you get with my behavior that I defined, the expected intake of caffeine is 1.16, roughly, per time unit. And so now the first problem we study. So all these things that I defined, so what we have an MDP, we have rewards and some constraints, which say like, this reward is greater than number one, the second is lower than number two, etc. And so we ask, is there a scheduler for the MDP such that the expected mean payoff with respect to all RIs satisfies the appropriate constraint? Yeah. So this is the problem. This is the first problem, first formalization of my coffee drinking problem that we study. An example. So again, we are here and we have these rewards. And let's say my constraint is that the department gives me one milk unit per time unit, and I want this amount of caffeine, at least one unit of caffeine per time unit to keep me awake, and my requirement for pleasure is this. So then is there a satisfying scheduler? Well, there is. I can use the one that I had before, right? Because I just flip a coin, and then I think we saw it here, that for milk it gives me 1/2, and for caffeine it gives me 1.16. So, well, these two things are satisfied, and similarly you can prove it for the last thing. So yeah, there is an achieving scheduler. So now, this was an example of a problem. So now in general, what is our result? So this problem of achieving the expected values, it is decidable, and it is actually decidable in polynomial time. And, well, you can ask, because we are computer scientists, so how hard it is to compute the scheduler or how hard it is to store. Is it more or less deterministic as you would like it to be? Well, it's actually not. The schedulers can require both randomization and 1 bit of memory. And this is all they need, but they need it. So in the previous, you saw that we used randomization. You could swap that for memory, but in general, you might need both. I'll show you why. So let's have a look at this. So you start in this state, and then you have two options. You either loop here, where in the first reward you are getting one, or you go to the other part, from which you cannot return. And here you will loop. There is no other option, and you get one in the other reward. Yeah. And so now, I claim that you can get expectation 0.5 in the first and 0.5 in the second. So you cannot do it without randomization and without memory, because if you just use memoryless strategy or deterministic strategy, you will either end up here with probability 1 or you will end up here with probability 1, which means that your reward in one of the components would be 0, your expected reward. But what you can do, you can flip a coin in the first instance and say, well, if it's heads, I will stay here, I will play B1. If it's tails, I will play A1 and go to the second part. And after the first step, you just play these B actions, so you always loop. And yeah, after the first step, you are here with probability half, here with probability 1/2, and so you just stay there, and your expectation with respect to both objectives is 1/2. Yeah, can you see that? It should be more or less clear, I suppose. So, in general, even if we need the memory, we can encode all these things in linear programming. I will show you in the next slide roughly how to do it. And yeah, you might say that this is actually trivial, that you need the memory and 1 bit randomization, etc. But actually, there was a paper by one of the co-authors of this paper 4 years ago where the theorem stated that you don't need memory, you just need randomization, and that the problem is in NP. So we both correct the old theorem and improve it. Yeah. So it's not as trivial as it might seem, I think, because it was unnoticed for a couple of years, the error. Yeah, so now how to construct the linear program for the MDP. So to show you some insight into it, I needed to prepare something more elaborated. So there is this MDP. So we start here, and we can loop, or we can go to the right part from which we can't return. But here, this right part is a bit more complicated. So we just play B2. There is no other option. And if you play B2, we can go back. We can go there. This is random. And then we can either loop here, or we can go back. That's our decision, what we do. And so now, how the strategy looks like in general. Well, I said it needs 1 bit of memory, but I didn't say what is this 1 bit for. So actually, this 1 bit is, when we start, the bit is set, let's say, to 0, and this means that the strategy tries to distribute, well, the probability mass to end components. End components are things from which, if I escape, I cannot go back. So this is one end component, and this is second end component. So when the bit is set to 0, the strategy chooses whether to go here or whether to go here. And once the strategy is somehow happy with where it is, it flips the bit to 1, and it never flips it back. And when the bit is 1, the strategy behaves differently, so it stays in the 1 maximal end component. And there it just tries to achieve the reward somehow more locally. Yeah. So because it's 1 bit, I could draw it as a product, where here it would be the bit is set to 0, and then this red arrow down means the flip is switched, the bit is flipped, and then I said the strategy plays within the end component. So now the strategy has no chance of going of changing the end component. And so how does the program look like? So in the upper part, we just need to say how we distribute to these end components, to either this or this. And so it's kind of reachability. So we need to say what is the probability of reaching this part or probability of reaching this part. And there is a result by Kusha Atasame and some other people a couple of years ago for multi-objective reachability, and it uses linear programs of this form. So basically, well, what I do here is I, for every state, this is like, this line is for state S1, this is for S2, this is for S3. So for every state, I say what number of times I enter the state and what number of times I leave the state. And this is enough for encoding the probability of reaching this end component and end component in our case. So, well, I enter the state S1 once when I just start, because this is the initial state. And then I enter it with every visit to B1. So this Y, B1, encodes number of visits to B1, and Y, B2 is similar for B2. And how many times I leave the state S1? Well, I can leave it through here, or through here. So I just sum up these numbers, which is like number of times I leave a state. It's somehow, well, it's mind-boggling, I think, because it's simple and still complicated. It's quite complicated to see how it works, but the problem is very simple. But anyway, it works. And we just need to say, to normalize it, that the probability of reaching either of these components is 1. So that the solution, yeah. But I didn't, well, yeah, yes, so my program doesn't say anything about what the probabilities are. I just say there must exist such numbers. Yeah, I didn't, yeah, that's a bit tricky because it's, I identify the components, I need to pre-compute them, and there is polynomially many of them, so it's okay. And I just say, well, the so far, I'm looking only for some solution of these Zs. I don't say what these solutions are. It can be a completely random number, and I need to restrict them later. Yeah. Yeah. So now let's say I move to this part. Yeah. And let's forget about what I said before for a moment. And so here, what the strategy does, it encodes something what is called quite often a frequency. It's somehow the portion of time a strategy spends taking some action. And then you can, similar as before, you can say the portion of time strategy spends taking an action going to S1 is equal to the portion of time strategy spends an action going from S1. Yeah. So, for example here, the portion of time I keep going to S1 is equal to portion of time I keep going from S1. And similarly for S2. Here I get B2, so XB2 is the portion of time I keep spending, I keep taking B2. So if I multiply by 0.2, this is the portion of time I keep coming to S2 via B2. And then I can also come via B3, right, to S2. And I can leave only via B2. So on the right-hand side, there is just this thing. Yeah. So here what I get. On the left-hand side, there is probability of reaching end components. And on the right-hand side, there is some kind of portion of time spent in state of end components. And now I need to interconnect it. How do I do it? Well, I say this portions of time must fit with these probabilities of reaching end components. So this is the first end component, which only contains S1. So this probability of going there must be equal to portion of time I keep going there. And for the second one, so there are these two states. So portion of time, the probability with which I go there must be equal to the portion of time I spend moving there with this second bit. Yeah, so this is almost it. And now I have these rewards. So what I say, well, this is a property of reward, but I can just say I take these portions of time for each action, yeah, and multiply them with the reward. And if I sum it up over all actions, then it must satisfy my restriction. Yeah. So this is the linear program. And I don't sure if anyone got it, but if it was too technical, I'm sorry. And anyway, now it's gonna be a bit less technical again. Yeah. So if you fell asleep and didn't want to, please wake again. wake up again. So now, what we did after this first problem, we asked, well, is this actually what we want, this expectation for long run? So, well, you could see in my very first example that I said I flipped the coin once and never changed my decision. And still using that, I would satisfy my objective. Yeah. I would actually never get enough caffeine and enough pleasure at the same time. But the objective said, yeah, it was okay. And so there is another example I can show you. So here we have absolutely no way of influencing anything. So we start here, and we go here with high probability, where we get small reward. Then with small probability, we go somewhere where we get high reward. So still the expectation is, well, I would say reasonable, something around 10, but it's very unlikely to get more than one. So with this in mind, we redefined the problem to something which might be more useful in many cases, and we said, well, instead of considering the expected value, compute actually the probability of long run satisfying some constraints. So this is what we call satisfaction problem. So in addition to what we had before, MDP, rewards, and constraints, we have a number, which is a restriction on probability. And we ask, is there a scheduler, or a strategy, call it whatever you want, for which we can identify a set of states, for which we can identify a set of runs, such that each run of this set has this property that whatever reward we take, the mean payoff with respect to this reward satisfies the condition we want. Yeah, so we want to be sure that with probability, at least something, we have enough caffeine. Yeah, which is what I have in this other example. So I have this, and in addition I say, well, in addition to my restrictions, I say I want to achieve that with probability at least 0.99. Yeah. And, well, again, I ask, is there a satisfying scheduler? So can I use the previous one? I can't. Because if I use it, then the runs that go up will not give me enough caffeine, the runs that go down will not give me enough pleasure. But I can do something else. I can just flip back on every time, which is probably what I would do in real life. And then I would be satisfied. I would get everything I need. Well, we will not compute it here, but anyway, the answer is yes. Yes, again. Yeah. But it's not the case that when answer is yes to one problem, then the answer would be yes to the second problem, where you just pick a random number. It's more complicated. But still, the theorem we have is that the problem is decidable. And it's decidable in polynomial time. And unlike the previous problem, you might need infinite amount of memory. And so before, you just needed one bit. Here you need infinite amount. Why? I still have the time, I guess. So let's have the counter example that we had before, but let's allow us to go back to this first state. And the rewards are the same. Yeah, to get a reward, we need to spend some time here or some time here. And now I say I want to achieve 0.5, 0.5 with the first and second respectively with probability 1. Yeah. So if I use any finite memory strategy, so what happens is that I spend non-zero portion of time on this A1 or this A2, where I don't get anything, which is bad. Yeah? I need to spend half of the time here and half of the time here on these two actions. So whenever I spend some time on A1 or A2, it's impossible to spend half here and half here. So what I need to do, I need to be here for some time, then go there, and for some larger amount of time, stay here, then go back, and again, for some larger amount of time, stay here, and back, and there, and increase my counter to infinity somehow. And I need to do it cleverly. But anyway, in the end, the portion of time spent here and here vanishes. Yeah. So I can get one half with probability 1, but it's not possible to get it with finite memory strategy. So even though there is this huge difference in the amount of memory you need, you can reduce the problem to the previous one. You identify some sub-problems where the answers actually coincide, and then you build it up to something using some reachability, some standard algorithms. you build it up and you get answers to this problem. So, yeah, that is all I wanted to say. Thank you.